The Fan on Demand. This is Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
With the fifth pick in the 2011 NBA Draft, the Toronto Raptors select Jonas Valančiūnas from Mutina, Lithuania. He last played for Lietuvos Rytas in Lithuania.
Well, there you have it, folks. Valančiūnas selected fifth overall by the Toronto Raptors. And it came as a surprise to many of you. And Jonesy, I would say, arguably, it came as a surprise to, well, a lot of the fans out there as well, based on the fact that when things were going down over the course of the last few days, it seemed like, word was at least, that the Raptors might be looking in the direction of a guy like Brandon Knight. And if Brandon Knight wasn't the guy, the expectation was that maybe Bismack Biyombo was second on their list. And if Knight was gone, Biyombo was the guy. As we find out from Brian Colangelo about 10 minutes ago, and we'll replay some of those comments, it sounds like Valančiūnas was the guy all along. Biyombo was actually still second at that point, and they ultimately got their guy. And I guess a lot of the mock drafts, and I suppose, as I wrote even in my own mock draft yesterday before it went up, these are often a crapshoot. It's hard to even put a lot of stock in this because many times it's just a guessing game, because even if you have talked to scouts and coaches and general managers and presidents and front office staff around the league, are they being honest with you? Are they sending up smoke screens? Are they trying not to show their hand? Whatever. I said they're crapshoots, and oftentimes they're a guessing game.
They are.
And all along, if you believe what Brian Colangelo said 20 minutes ago, and you have no reason not to, Valančiūnas was the guy they wanted. They were hoping he'd slide to five, and he did. For what it's worth, and we've been chatting online on sportsnet.ca and fan590.com for the last 2.5 hours, almost 3 full hours, I would guess, and you correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't discussed this number.
We barely talked to each other, never mind discussed the number.
I barely saw the draft.
I know.
After pick five, I don't think I've seen the draft or really known who went where and what happened, because I've been basically interacting with and dealing with predominantly upset Raptor fans. But I would guess, I initially said it was about 60-40, 60% that didn't like it, 40% that did. I'd say by the time all was said and done, probably close to 70-30, at least online. I'd be interested in knowing what the reaction is from the fan base that was watching or listening at home. So we will open up the phone lines at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We will take your phone calls on this pick. If you don't want to buy what I'm selling or what Jonesy's selling or what Brian Colangelo is selling, I'm the first to admit, and I'm going to get you to jump in here in 1 second, Jonesy. I thought that the Raptors were going Brandon Knight. Was I surprised by the Valančiūnas selection? Yes. Do I think it's a bad one? No, because I don't know enough about the player. I haven't seen him work out live. I haven't seen him play live. I'm going by what many of you are as well, what I've seen on YouTube videos and reading scouting reports. But the one thing I guess I can go on as well, and this isn't said in an arrogant way, is conversations with other scouts and coaches in the league, because that's our job. That's what we do.
Yep.
And everybody that we've talked to, even leading up to tonight, said Cleveland's going to get a solid pick at four if they ultimately take Valančiūnas. Now, it turns out he goes to the Raptors. Adrian Wojnarowski, one of the more respected writers out there, Yahoo Sports, SI.com, ESPN. Many of the major outlets, most of the major outlets, are all saying this is a grand slam for the Raptors. Whether he plays in year one, whether he sits out a year or two playing overseas and doesn't come to the NBA quite yet, it's a solid pick, a home run for the Raptors. We'll see.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you know, Erica, I know you had Brandon Knight as the guy. I was really convinced it was going to be Biyombo. I was convinced that they were going to go for a guy that something that you can't teach in terms of height, rim protection, and as much flack as Brian Colangelo seems to have received over the years for an up and down, no defense kind of team. Let's face it, in the last little while, he has talked consistently about protecting the rim. Remember when they got Ed Davis at this point last year, when Ed Davis fell into their lap? They talked about, Brian Colangelo talked about, well, we got a guy who can play on the inside, rebound, and protect the rim. And that's what they've gone for again. And I got to tell you, I thought it was going to be Biombo, but in listening to Dwayne Casey, who said that Biombo was a guy that we had considered, and we later heard Brian Colangelo say he was probably second on our list, which means Brandon Knight and Kemba Walker weren't. It probably means they're going to addressing some of those needs in free agency. But I thought it was going to be Biombo, but they went with a guy who was better or further ahead on the timetable to making a contribution. Dwayne Casey said, Valanciunas might be a couple of years away from being like a big-time contributor, where they figured Biombo might be 3 or 4 years away. So it looks like they had that kind of guy targeted all along. And the reason why I thought Biombo was going to be the guy was because I didn't think Valanciunas was going to be there. I did not think he was going to be there. You had him going fourth in your mock. But as we said, somebody always wrecks the draft. And thankfully, at this point, the draft was changed by the Cavaliers, who loved, obviously, the Tristan Thompson workout. Tristan Thompson said his two best workouts were in Cleveland and Toronto. And Cleveland took advantage of that. They picked him. And then all of a sudden, that pushed other guys that people didn't think were going to be on the board down. And that's how Valanciunas fell in Toronto's lap. So, and I got to give Brian Colangelo credit. He talked about it. You'll hear about it. We're hoping to have him here. He wasn't concerned with popular sentiment. And for a guy that just signed a 2-year or, three with an option contract, he made the pick based on what was best for the team. And that's gutsy. That's gutsy to not try to get something, as he put it, that would be, quote, instant gratification. I got to give him credit for that. That takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of wherewithal to do that and make what he felt was the proper decision for the franchise, regardless of his own personal plight. And I know people are going to say, well, hey, wait a minute. There are a lot of people out there that would not do that and would be in survival mode, saving their own skin, whereas he's thinking long-term. And people are, they were on the chat saying to us, why didn't you pick this guy, or why didn't you do this? Well, wait a minute. They've tried that for the last couple of years, and it hasn't worked. So rather than trade and shuffle and try to patch it together, it looks like a proper rebuild, Eric, continues.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We will be taking your phone calls throughout the evening as we are on the air until midnight tonight. Till 12 a.m. we stay on the air here and take your phone calls, and we will be joined by a number of the members of the Toronto Raptors front office as well as players. Earlier in the evening, we had a chance to chat with Solomon Alibi, with DeMar DeRozan, also hooked up with Sonny Weems. James Johnson is scheduled to join us live on site as well, so we're hoping to chat with him. And also Brian Colangelo, president and general manager. We've just been speaking a lot about him. He has said that he will stop by and join us on the program at some point as well, as he's gone back into the war room, but he's hoping to come out here and hook up and chat with us as well. And I don't know if we'll have a chance to chat with Dwayne Casey maybe as well, Mark Eversley, assistant GM. So a lot of people coming up over the course of the next couple of hours. Let's go to a few phone calls, though, before we get to the 20 Sports Update in a few moments' time. Right now, John in Toronto. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, John.
I have a couple of points. The first point you just mentioned, the fact that he just got a contract extension, and it's only a 2-year deal. So I'm not sure if it was the right move or not, but the fact that he picked him at least showed that he wasn't going for a guy that, that's possible that could have helped him this year or next year. And the fact that he did it, that's why, even though it's European, I know that he did it for for the benefit of the franchise. The other thing is, with guys like, whether it's Walker or Brandon, I forgot his last name.
Brandon Knight.
Yeah, exactly. The only problem is that a couple of years ago, I think it was J.J. Redick, that he came out, I think he was even, I'm not sure if he was rated a lot higher than him, but I think people thought that he was going to be a future stud and all that. Because in college he was great, he was a great shooter. And the fact is, he came to the NBA and he couldn't defend, and the only thing that he could do was with the threes and stuff. And if you look at guys like Brandon Knight and Kemba Walker, it's the same thing, really.
Thanks for the call, John. And look, we talked about it this afternoon, Eric and I, when we were on. The pro game is different from the college game. It's different. In college, it's about systems and guys fitting systems and coaches, you know, trying to win at that level to keep their jobs, to keep the program going. And we talked about all these places where guys play and they're in good systems. And the good thing is they learn to play, but the system, in a sense, almost holds them back. And then they get into the pros and they explode. And, you know, you look at a guy like J.J. Redick, who is terrific in his system, but it's taken him a few years to kind of make his mark in the professional ranks. So, look, people are looking at Brandon Knight, and as much hype as he got, he may turn out to be a terrific player, but maybe because they could see him and they saw him playing for Kentucky and, you know, they could hear all about him and he, you know, won the awards at various, you know, tournaments and, you know, amateur awards, sometimes that doesn't translate. And I think that's the hardest thing about the draft is projecting potential, because you do miss sometimes. And, you know, we're not sitting in at dinners where they're, you know, basically doing character assessments, workouts where you're seeing guys work against other people, where you're trying to measure that potential. And, John, I agree with you. It was something I think that was done for the long term and not, you know, an instant gratification move. And we'll see how it turns out.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll continue to take your phone calls right up until midnight tonight, the special two-hour draft night edition of Hoops on the air, again until 12 a.m. James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors scheduled to join us live on site here, plus conversations coming up with DeMar DeRozan, Sonny Weems, and many more, including President and General Manager Brian Colangelo. And again, your calls right up until 12 o'clock. We're also going to have special appearances by some of the members of the Raptors media, fellow broadcasters like Jack Armstrong, and I believe Matt Devlin are going to stop by as well over the course of the next hour and 40 minutes. So this is the place to be for all your draft coverage. It's Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan, 590. Welcome back to Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. The special two-hour edition of Hoops, draft edition, with the Raptors going with Valanciunas, number 5 overall. And we can mention, as you probably just heard from Andrew Nye in the 20 Sports Update as well, that Canadian Corey Joseph, who I had pegged as going as a late 30s, early 40s second-round pick, goes in the first round to the San Antonio Spurs, I believe 29th overall, Jonesy, and that is big, not only to be going to an organization like the Spurs, but given the fact that they just made a move tonight with George Hill, there may be an opportunity that much sooner for Corey Joseph to play and to be groomed not only in a solid program by a solid coach, but potentially with a solid vet in Tony Parker, and even more important, I'm sure, than making it to the league and making it to a big team is the difference between the guaranteed money as a first rounder versus the money and the length of term, the length of contract that you would see receive as a second rounder. So that's even bigger for Corey Joseph, two Canadians going in the first round of this year's NBA draft.
Here's the other thing too, Eric. He went to San Antonio, and you know what their history is with picks. They take guys and one, they take guys they think they can play, and then two, they really work with them to develop them. And that's that says a lot for Corey Joseph. You know, I know the Joseph family, his dad, David, and I played together. You know, good family, happy for Corey, really happy for Tristan, and more than that, happy that a couple of Canadians are starting to make their mark on, you know, have a chance to make their mark on the NBA stage. And, you know, the same way we've got international players floating around from all over, it's nice to see a couple of those international players come from Canada.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Before I go back to the phone calls right here, want to mention that we do have two prize packs that we are giving away right now. The first person that comes down to our broadcast location and shows on their phone, or somehow if you're carrying your laptop or iPad or something, you got to show, just prove to me that you follow either me or Jonesy on Twitter. You follow either one of us on Twitter, you will win a sports apparel prize pack, a real sports apparel prize pack, which is the exclusive Raptors 47 brand prize pack, which includes Raptors trucker cap, the Raptors claw, men's T-shirt, also a men's fleece, the basic logo fleece sweatshirt, also a ladies' tee and a ladies' fleece. So you get a men's T-shirt, men's sweatshirt, ladies T-shirt, ladies sweatshirt, and a Raptors hat. That is all coming to you courtesy of the folks at Real Sports and Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. You've just got to be the first down to the broadcast location right now and prove to me and Jonesy that you follow either one of us on Twitter. Back to the calls we go. Paul in Etobicoke. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, Paul.
Paul, Eric, how you doing?
Good, good.
I like the pick. I like the pick because I think he won't play next year, and I think the lockout he'll be in Europe. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised from all the picks, international players in the top 10, but I'm not surprised we got Lithuanian. I just want to know if they're done yet. I mean, are they going to do something else tonight, or are they? It looks like Calderon's here to stay because they didn't pick a point guard, but. I think this guy sounds like a plumber, and that's something this team has needed since Oakley.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, as we talked about, I think it speaks to trying to do this the proper way and not looking for a quick fix. And, you know, you never have too many big guys, and that's something that Eric and I talked about on the chat. It's like pitching in baseball. You can never have enough. And look, I mean, we weren't up here. We're in Real Sports Apparel right now, but we heard that, you know, some people may not have been happy with the pick. Look, as I said before, it's a gutsy move by Brian Colangelo, and I like it, the fact that if you're rebuilding, you do it the proper way, and you get a guy who's going to help you, you know, in the long term. Yeah, you work with them now. Brian Colangelo talked about that. If there is, well, he didn't really use the word lockout, but he talked about knowing that if he stayed over there, he would have that money, the salary slot, to go ahead. And the other thing we don't know, Eric, and not a lot of people do, unless you're in that war room, is what the plan is for free agency. As you say, Calderon might be here. Hey, maybe he's part of a trade. They tried to trade him last summer. You just don't know. This is one piece. And I know some people are reacting negatively, but at the same time, it's only one piece of what they're doing going forward. So it's tough to make a judgment in a vacuum right now in isolation.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Salen in Stouffville, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
That's good to hear. I was a bit disappointed by the pick because I think our point guard situation or that spot is a spot that we need to improve in there. And then, like, example, like, with us, with our history as a team, we've always been drafting European players. And some of them have turned out good, but, like, example with on Andrea and his defense there and so on, right? If we draft this other player here now, maybe he's a good fit for us. He can improve in that center position with Amir Johnson playing there with, what's his name again? With a rookie from last year.
Ed Davis.
Exactly. Ed Davis playing there. But once again, like, it goes back to, like, what some people talked about. Who's willing to shoot that last shot in the game? Is it Andrea? Is it DeMar? That's why I thought, like, maybe a guy like a Brandon Knight as a point guard there would add some more defense, but at the same time add kind of like another quarterback here to our offense there.
All right, thanks for the call. Look, I can't disagree with that. As you. You know, guard-oriented teams don't always win, but they're in games. But if you're going to win, you need to protect the rim. You do. I mean, if you look down the road, I mean, Dallas this year, they neutralized three teams that were more athletic and were better than they were from an athletic standpoint because of their defense. And Tyson Chandler was the guy anchoring that defense. And Dwayne Casey came out and spoke to us, and he said, I know what this kid looks like because I had Tyson Chandler this year. And at the same age, Tyson Chandler couldn't do what this kid can do. Now, again, we're talking about potential and projecting, but at the same time, you can never have too many of those guys. And you look at what Dallas did this year. They had a 38-year-old point guard. His backup was a guy who was about 5'8". You know, Jason Terry, not really known for his defense, but they bought in, they played defense together, they had an anchor back there. Actually, they had a couple, Eric, when you think about Tyson Chandler and Brendan Haywood, and they're able to protect the rim and rebound a little bit, and those pieces are sometimes the ones that are hard to find. And if they get one now and a guy, that kid that can work through it and get better at it, you know what? I don't mind the pick at all.
You know, and here's the other thing as well, Jonesy, and you and I have talked about this over the course of you know, the last couple of years, right? The rebuild, using that term, is always tough because it's frustrating in the sense that people don't want to wait and have to wait to be good. But at the same time, if you go for the quick fix and go for the veteran players, then there's another school of thought that says, well, hold on a second. We can't give up the youngsters. We can't go with a bunch of veterans. Why not build for a future, build with young players, etc.? So it depends on, you know, it depends on where you're leaning and where you're going with what you want to do. So I appreciate that there are some people out there right now that are upset with the pick. Some people are saying, man, this guy's a project. He might not be in the league next year, whatever. But then there are others on the other that are on the other side saying, well, no, hold on a second. This is exactly what the team needs. The same argument's gone on with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Frustration is there, and it's understandable for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs for a long time. But on one hand, people are jumping off rooftops because of the fact that they traded away picks, but then others are saying, well, no, that's exactly what you need to do is you need to overhaul, you need to bring in veteran players. So there's never the right way of thinking, I suppose, depending on which way you go. And the Raptors today going with Valanciunas, number 5. We bring into the conversation our colleague, Raptors television analyst, Jack Armstrong. And, Jack, we haven't had a chance to speak over the course of the night. You've been busy on TV. We were busy down in the media room and doing the live chat and then getting setting for this show. So I'm talking to you really for the first time. What was your reaction, or what were your initial thoughts when you heard the number 5 pick for the Raptors?
Well, my first reaction was my mouth was kind of agape for a second there. I'm like, okay, let me comprehend this. And then my second reaction was, well, maybe there's a trade in the works. And then my third reaction was, wow, you know, you're Brian Colangelo. You just got an extension for 2 years with an option for a third. Dwayne Casey comes in as your new coach with a 2-year deal with an option for a third. And you're making a decision based upon the long-term health of your franchise. To me, I'm like, I respect that. And that's leadership. There's a word I can use, but it starts with a B. It takes big, you know what? Onions, I guess, would be the...
Cojones.
To do that. Because you're not thinking about your own greater good. You're thinking about the greater good of your employer. And too often in this business, and I'm not just talking basketball, but all professional sports, we've seen owners, and particularly GMs and managers, sell their franchise out for the greater good of that specific year's team to save their own skin. And I give Brian a lot of credit for saying, you know what, where would this guy be if there was no buyout attached? And that was the thing I asked myself. I don't think he'd be the 5th pick in this draft if there was no buyout. I think he'd probably be 1, 2, at the worst, 3. So you're saying we're at the 5 spot, and we got a chance. Forget the buyout for a minute and the pain of maybe having to wait a year. Is this worth rolling the dice a little bit and doing what's right for the long-term health of your franchise
to get a guy that can help you? Why weren't other teams willing to make that risk? Especially, let's say, a team like Cleveland, who would be in a similar position as the Raptors, who already got another pick that will be contributing right away. They maybe could have afforded to, Jack.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't. And if I'm in Cleveland's position, I would have. I felt Utah was the swing vote at the three. I thought they were the swing vote, in terms of where they went. And when they took Cantor, I was actually very surprised. And then it changed how things went a little bit. So, you know, I thought that Brandon Knight would fall right into the Raptors' lap, and he did. And yet the Raptors said, you know what, we're going with the best guy on the board, and they felt this young man was.
Four of the top seven guys, Jack, were international players.
I think it speaks, I think it speaks volumes about, in my opinion, the level of teaching, coaching, discipline, how hard these kids work overseas on their game, and there's more of a fundamental sense of how to play the game. And I think it's good for the development of the sport. So I think it's a neat thing, and I think it's a development that is a positive.
Gutsy pick, Jack, and I agree with you for all of those reasons. I totally agree with you. And you know what? I like it. And I think you're right. Other people would have done the same had the situation been different. So I give Brian Colangelo a lot of credit. And you know what? Dwayne Casey talked about it, too. When he came down to address the media, he said, here's a guy I know because I just had Tyson Chandler. Here's a guy that can do things that Tyson Chandler couldn't do at that same age. And I know how important rim protection and an anchor back there is. And this guy's got the speed, the strength. The wingspan, the ability to protect the rim for us, and he will be there in a couple of years. And when we asked him about Biombo, he said, I think Biombo's more than a couple of years away. He might be 3 or 4 years away from doing the same thing, so they went with this guy.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit, and again, it's a risky pick. But again, leadership is about doing what's right, not what's popular. And there was a lot of reaction tonight that was mixed. I was at the draft party at the Real Sports Bar and Grill here at the Air Canada Center, guys. And I'm not going to kid you, it was a mixed reaction. Some were like, wow, are you kidding me? Others were like, boy, that's bold. I got to think about that for a while. Only time will tell. But needless to say, I give Colangelo credit because that's definitely thinking outside the box, particularly your own.
Jack, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, and we may hook up later in the night, either on the air or off. So thanks for this, Jack.
Guys, I apologize. I have to run on TV.
Yeah, you got other work to do. We appreciate
the
time.
All right, Jack.
And James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors will be joining us right after the 40 Sports Update, so make sure you stay tuned. James Johnson of the Raptors up in about 5 minutes right after the 40 Sports Update on the special two-hour edition, Draft Night Special of Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
This is Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. The special two-hour edition of Hoops Draft Night Special on the air till midnight. And thanks to all of you for phoning in. The phone lines stay open at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Calls have to hang tight for just a couple of seconds, though, at least a few minutes time here, as a man who just arrived in town today to Toronto for the draft party that was going on at the Real Sports Bar and Grill for some of the season seat holders. And he's sticking around in town for at least a few days through the weekend, I believe, is Raptor forward James Johnson, who joins us live on our on-site location here. James, good to see you.
How you doing?
Good, good. Now, what have you been up to so far in the offseason over the last 6 to 8 weeks?
We've been in Denver training, doing a Navy SEAL workout, climbing trails, doing Pilates, everything for the core, everything to get you strong and right for the season.
Now, who is we?
My brother and I, my older brother and me, we dedicated ourselves this summer to stick with it together and push each other through the whole summer and work hard as we can.
Now, Jonesy, I know you were asking.
I've seen those workouts. They're ridiculous.
Like, I couldn't do this, right?
Well, we could try. I mean, probably take both of us to flip one of those big truck tires.
Yeah.
And like, I know the one in California, they have them running the hills in the sand. Climbing rope.
Same concept.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's basically like boot camp. It's a stuff that, you know, the servicemen do and Army, Marines. Well, Navy SEAL workout. I mean, it's crazy. And you know what? You look good, man.
Thank you.
You look like you're ready to go. And I thought you were tough before with all your martial arts business. You must be killing people now.
Definitely. It definitely teach you more mind control when you're tired. Keep pushing. If you're sore or if you can't keep going, it's definitely mental. And it's not for the weak, but luckily I have an older brother who's strong with me and who believes in me and wants to grind as hard as I do.
How long does this keep up, James? You've been doing that, you know. How long do you continue to do it? When does it stop? When does the program end? Tell us about that.
Obviously, when we come back, it's going to stop. But I'm definitely never going to quit Pilates. It's been great for me. My core workout's been great. I never quit that. But it comes a time where you have to start doing court work and what's important, and that's shooting jumpers and doing basketball work, court work. And that's definitely when it will stop, you know. But until then, I feel strong. I feel dominant. And I feel like an alpha.
Let me ask you. There was a guy here earlier, a Raptor fan, who wanted to ask this question. It was a very good one. I believe his name was Jonathan, who had stopped by. And he was saying that the Raptors could have gone in a certain direction tonight. There were some that thought they might go with a point guard. There was other schools that thought that, hey, there are certain, you know, forwards, small forwards out there that could have been on the, you know, on the list for Toronto. The fact that they didn't go that in that direction. How much does that mean to you in terms of maybe the confidence that they're showing in you in terms of acquiring you last year and looking going forward, saying, hey, man, James Johnson is still a potential untapped resource for us?
That goes a long way with confidence, you know, not playing Chicago for about a year and a half and then coming to Toronto where they want me to start, where I want to be a role player, more of a role player instead of who I am. And for them to give me that confidence where they believe in me, they want me to play both ends of the floor, and they know I can play both ends of the floor, is extremely confident for me and mind-boggling. I know I want to work hard. I'm more confident than ever. And it just feels great that finally I know I'm working for a reason. You know, I'm not working just to keep on the team or just to survive in the NBA. I'm working for a purpose to win an NBA championship, and I feel if we can all buy in, we got that.
James, how much have you talked to new head coach Dwayne Casey? And I know that he talked a little bit to DeMar. He talked a little bit to Sonny when he saw them at the introductory news conference. You get a chance to talk to him tonight, and what did you guys talk about?
Yeah, you know, we definitely talked in the war room about what was going on, what he expected, how he's going to hold people accountable, and that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
I'm right up about holding people accountable, making people fight for what they believe, and if they want to win, then they got to fight for it, and that's what all my life has been, training to fight to win. And you know, to see Mr. Casey ready to hold people accountable, including myself, is just extremely, I'm excited and I'm ready, and I just hope this lockout or whatever it takes, whatever it gets done, it hurries up so we can get on this court.
All right, no disrespect to you, enough about you. What about tonight? What did you think, and how much do you know, if anything, about Valanciunas?
I have never seen his game, and to be honest, it wasn't where I thought we were going to go. But, you know, that's not my decision to pick, and I'm where I'm at because I play basketball. I don't make the decisions who's going to help us win and who's not going to help us win. I do the plays, I do the X's and O's, and I show up. And that's all they can ask of me, and that's all I can ask of them. So when it comes time for them to pick, our trust is in their hand. We know that they're not going to blow a pick over anybody they don't think that can help or contribute right away. So I just say whenever the season gets started, I hope he's ready. I hope he's ready to get held accountable, and hope he's ready to win.
Let me ask you this as well. Sorry to jump in for a second, Jonesy. But I don't know if you're listening to the radio or the TV or if you're following online or any of that stuff, but there are some, and I don't know if it's 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, whatever number you want to put on it, there are some that since the selection, and it's been like this for years, it borderlines on racism, the comments that come out about Europeans. There are soft North Americans. There are soft Europeans. There are soft guys that are 5'10", 6'6", 7'2", no matter how muscular they are, no matter how skinny they are. Let me just draw a comparison to you, and you might be able to speak to this. I would assume that there were a lot of people, either in Chicago or even fans around the league, that would look at a guy like Ashiq and go, man, big, skinny, white dude, I don't want him on my team. And what happens? He goes out and busts his butt, and he's a key part of a 60-win team. And a key part of the postseason run for the Bulls, and looks like he's a future piece.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about the tab of the Euros and the feeling that exists amongst not only fans but amongst some in the league overall where Euros and avoid Euros?
I say it don't matter the race. Everybody has a heart. Everybody has a patience, and everybody has a ego. And if you can go and contribute as hard as you can and go as hard as you can in workouts and be as confident as you can on the game floor, then it don't matter what race you are, white, black, Euro, you can play hard. But people go harder than other people, and that's just nature. That's just manhood. That's just growing as a person. They go harder than other people, and you can't help somebody with that, and you can't teach somebody that. It's in them. And like a person like Ashiq, he came into the program ready to go as hard as he could. Didn't care what nobody thought about him. Didn't care whether you said this about him, say he's Euro, say he's soft. He worked every day harder than anybody I've ever seen, and it paid off at the end. And that's what they have. As long as you have heart, I feel like you can compete with anybody.
And, James, some of that also comes out when you're in that competitive situation and you're knocking heads with guys and they're bringing it out of you, because if you don't, they're going to run over you.
Of course. Like I said, it's heart. And after a while, it can be friendship on the court, but you bump me, you score on me, you steal the ball from me. Obviously, competitiveness is going to come out. It practice is interviews.
Right.
And every time you're on that practice floor, you have to know that you're getting interviewed to play a spot or 2 minutes, 3 minutes. That's your interview time. So when you bring it every time and they know you're not scared of them, they know this, they know that you can dunk, they know you can rebound, then they're just going to treat you like one of us. It's not Euro. It's not American. It's basketball.
From your perspective as a player, does it impact you, good, bad, or otherwise, that he may not be with the team for a year or two? I mean, he might be. Depends if they can work out the bio. But even Brian Colangelo was just saying, we don't know yet if we'll be able to get him next year or in another year from then. We're not sure. I mean, you guys, hypothetically, if he doesn't come for a year or two, you start building what you have, you start getting chemistry, you start feeling a flow for one another, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a new guy. Or he comes right away, and he's a part of that building process. Does it make a difference?
I feel the same way when I was in Chicago, not to keep bringing up Chicago, but Ashiq was there as well. And he didn't come right away when he got drafted. He trained. He worked hard. He ended up being on the USA versus Turkey team.
Right.
And doing well for himself, which later on brought him over, which he had a great season this year. You know, so I don't think it's nothing about rebuilding, because every year we bring another key piece in that we think we can help. So regardless whether you can help 2 years from now or you can help 3 years from now or you can help right away, they're bringing in a key piece that they think can help eventually.
How much will some of you guys get together, James? You talk about building and, you know, the camaraderie and you know, the kinship and, you know, working together. Look, we could be a week away from a work stoppage, but that doesn't mean you guys have to stop working out. Will you try and get together, some of you, in different spots around the U.S. and wherever?
Of course. Luckily for us, including myself, that we have great relationship on this team. We're young, we love each other, and we all want the same for each other, winning. And so, you know, we will probably go to L.A., visit DeMar, work out, or we will go to Denver, come with me to the Navy SEAL workout, or come back here, do some workouts here in Toronto. But I know that we're together on this, and we want to win. And when it comes time for the lockout to be over, if there is a lockout to be over, that we're going to be ready to play, because everybody here is dedicated and we're in shape.
Last question for you. We both hate asking this question, but it came up again tonight, again kind of in that whole Euro theme. Are the Raptors going after Europeans because Americans don't want to come to Toronto to play? It comes up again after 17 years with the Raptors. It's still coming up. I wrote to somebody in the chat we were doing. I don't think James Johnson, Jared Bayless, Sonny Weems, DeMar DeRozan seem to care about
Ed
that.
Ed Davis.
I don't think any of them seem to care about it. And here you are back in town. And you when we saw, and this isn't set up, folks, when we saw James earlier tonight, about, I don't know, 5 hours ago or something, he said, man, my brother is thrilled to be here in Toronto for the first time. I got to show him the town.
Yes, sir.
Is that not legit? Like,
you know, to us, this is just a big city. We love it. It's safe. Like, why would you want to leave anything like this? You know, if I could finish the rest of my career here, like he said, it's not set up, folks. I will. And I love it here.
James, appreciate you stopping by, and enjoy the city the rest of the weekend.
Yes, sir. You guys have fun.
Great to see you, James.
There's James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors. Appreciate his time sticking around here and chatting with us tonight. We'll take your phone calls after 11 o'clock, and I believe, do we have a winner right here?
Nice.
We've had back and forth.
All right. What's here we go. Do we just got to get proof? There we go. What's your name? Carl.
Carl, were you on the chat today? Okay, on the Twitter. Okay, all right. There you go. Now, wait a minute. Does he follow just you or both of us?
Well, he showed me proof that he follows me, but okay. I'm sure
that's good enough. That's good enough.
All right, make sure you send me a tweet then, Carl, and then we'll retweet that you won, so that we've got one of the two prize packs right there. So Carl just won the Real Sports Apparel exclusive brand prize pack with the hat, men's T-shirt, ladies' T-shirt, men's sweatshirt, women's sweatshirt as well. So appreciate it. Congratulations. All the way from Ireland as well.
Wow. I'm surprised he's not named Rory. You got the U.S. Open trophy kicking around?
Oh, and he's got the CD too. I mean, this is perfect. So we've got one more prize pack to give away. You just have to prove that you follow either me or Jonesy on Twitter, and we will have a secondary prize pack for you, which includes another men's hoodie and men's T-shirt. So you missed out on the pack that includes the women's T-shirt, the women's hoodie, and the hat. But we've still got another fabulous prize, the men's T-shirt and men's sweatshirt. In fact, I'm looking at this prize pack right now. The T-shirt here, it's an official Adidas Raptors T-shirt. The T-shirt alone is listed at $45. So we're talking about probably over $100 in this prize pack right here. In fact, I'm looking at the tag on the sweatshirt, $90. It's about $130 prize pack right there. You just have to prove to me or Jonesy before midnight that you follow us on Twitter. Stop by our broadcast location at the Real Sports Apparel Store and check us out. Prove to us that you follow us, and the prize pack is yours. Back with your phone calls after 11 on Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the Fan Club. Join today at fan590.com. This is Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Special two-hour edition, draft night edition of Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Your phone calls will be coming up shortly. We've taken a few already over the course of the evening, and we will get back to your calls and get reaction.
You've got to wait, though, folks. You've got to wait.
Yeah, you've got to wait. I mean, we had Jack Armstrong join us. We went back to a couple of calls. Then James Johnson of the Raptors stopped by as he's in the area. And other than Valanciunas, the newest member of the Raptors family, who just was introduced a few days ago as the new head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey, joining us. Dwayne, good to see you again.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Paul.
Dwayne, I know you already spoke with the media a little bit downstairs, and we were down there listening in as well, but for maybe some of the fans that didn't have a chance to hear, so sorry if this is a little bit repetitive, but your initial thoughts on the draft selection and the piece of the puzzle that might be joining this year or next year, whenever it may be, and your thoughts on Valanciunas.
That's a big piece of the puzzle, Eric, is when he will join us. I love him as a talent. Great guy, and I was grad assistant at Kentucky when we brought in Sam Bowie. He reminds me so much of a gangly Sam Bowie as far as running, gangly, blocking shots, great hands, excellent touch, needs to get stronger. When Sam came in the weight room, he could only do leg squats with the bar.
right.
So he was so thin. But this kid is a little bit bigger than Sam, good hands, but he reminds me so much of him. Wayne Embry said he reminds him a lot of Ilgauskas. So those are kind of two good comparisons. Where he's going, we don't know, but we love his upside. We love his length, that he can give us some rim protection. The biggest question is, will it be 1 year, 2 years before he comes here? It won't be over 2 years, because then they can possibly lose him for nothing, no buyout.
Right.
So that's the gamble they take if they try to stretch it past 2 years. But Brian is going to go over as soon as possible and try to start negotiations to try to get him possibly this year, 1 year, whatever. And I think if he goes back over there, I think another year playing would not be the worst thing that could happen to him. Play another year in the EuroLeague over there, get great coaching, great playing experience, and get stronger another year, and then we get a more finished product.
Dwayne, it wasn't – I would say this. We were on an online chat, and it was not a popular pick. And,
right,
and Brian
right.
talked about that, and,
right.
and both of you – and we say it's kind of gutsy in the fact that – you know, it's 2 years, and here's a kid who might not be ready right away, right. but you're looking long-term, right. and you said it. You don't, you know, make that judgment based on what's good for you, but what's good for the organization and the team. But you made an interesting comparison when you were downstairs. You drew some very lucid parallels between a young Tyson Chandler and a guy who helped you win an right. NBA ring. Right. Or is Cuban giving you all rings or bracelets or what?
Well, nose rings, Paul. Nose rings.
But you drew that comparison to a guy that can anchor your defense in a young Tyson Chandler or a veteran Tyson Chandler and what we see out of Jonas right now. Can you kind of draw those parallels for us and expound on them?
Well, Tyson Chandler, I just mentioned Sam Bowie is another one that came to mind through the years of guys I've been around. Tyson's young, you know, at a young age, Tyson was not the Tyson he is now. You know, if you think back when he came to Chicago out of high school, he was gangly, long run. He didn't run as well as this kid did. But, again, he grew into that. And Jonas is going to grow into his position, and that's what you have to do with big guys. Because if you look around the college game, there's just not that many young guys in the United States. And again, I don't care if he's from Timbuktu, the moon, or wherever. If a guy can play, he can play. It just happens to be that he's from Lithuania, and I think some people get caught up in the fact that, you know, he's a European. But that doesn't bother me, and it shouldn't bother our organization.
I thought, Dwayne, that Coach, that the guy was going to be Bismack, and you said that they were similar, but you had on your own timetable and the organizational timetable, you had Jonas a little bit ahead of where Bismack was.
There's no question. He's played a more organized basketball, more so than Bismack. I think his skills are more refined right now than Bismack's. I think Bismack's athletically is above Jonas, but yet and still, Jonas is a good athlete. He's not just a stiff, a 6'11 guy that can't run, can't move. He's a 6'11, 7-foot athlete, which is a big difference than a guy that is stiff and can't move and doesn't run well. So he is ahead of Bismack right now from that standpoint. But Bismack is a good athlete, can get up and dunk. But as far as knowing the game, knowing how to play the game, being in a more of an organized, better coach situation, Jonas is in a better place right now. And his upside, if he does stay there this year, I still think it'll help him tremendously.
We're speaking with Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. Dwayne, this might not be fair to ask because you haven't been here. You've been here a few days. You haven't had a chance to coach Andrea Bargnani yet. But I think I would speak on behalf of the fans, and I don't agree with this assessment. I think we've pretty much
my point in a minute.
Well, I think we've made it known over the last few hours even that we're willing to at least give the kid a chance. I mean, I don't think there's too many people other than those in the know that can truly make an assessment of this guy yet. But I think for a lot of fans, they'll look at it and say, at least for the Raptors specifically, they'll say, man, more than a decade ago, they tried for a Euro big man in Radojevic. They tried for a big man in Rafael Araujo. The other guy that they selected first overall in Bargnani, has he lived up to potential yet? So there's a lot of apprehension. Do you get that? Do you understand it? Do you sense where the fan base might be coming from with some of the folks?
Tonight I felt it, but I think it's totally unwarranted and unfair. I understand it. I see the history. But in no way is Jonas like Radojevic. In no way is Jonas like Hoffa, and that type of thing. So totally different, and it's not fair just because he's from Europe that you can compare him to those two men. And in Andrea's situation, they were saying the same thing 3 years ago about Dirk Nowitzki, and I was there to see the start. I didn't see their criticism of him being soft, of him not living up to expectations. And he had been in the league a lot longer than Andrea. So I think it's because, and rightfully so, fans have the right to be impatient. You know, ownership has the right to be impatient. But all they have to do is look at the history of the NBA of similar players of the similar talent level and just see where it goes or see what happens when you are impatient and when you don't wait for players who have that talent, because there's not a lot of guys 7 foot around that can shoot the ball like Andrea. They can give you 20 points or 20 plus points a night as Andrea can at the five position or four position, stretch the floor. And that is a new NBA today that guys can stretch the floor like that. And that's what I planned on using him in that manner of stretching the floor, whether it's in the corner threes, at the arc three, ISOs, try to move him all around the floor where teams can't load up on him and give him the green light to shoot the three-point shot.
Dwayne, you talked about how Toronto was difficult to defend because you were in charge of the defense in Dallas.
Right.
But, I mean, for me, and I've written this, I think you're getting Andrea at a time where he's had a lot of criticism heaped on him. The expectations are still high. And you just drew the same parallel to what people were saying about Dirk. And even at that point, it took you a few years. I know you haven't met with him yet, but you've got to have a plan in place to move him along the continuum.
We got to. I mean, and that's the challenge I'll give Andrea when I meet with him is and let him know, I'm sure he does know, the criticism, what people are saying about him, and also put it back on him. How can I help you help yourself? I mean, what can I do for your game? What do you want to do offensively?
Right.
And if you want to do that, here's what you got to give me defensively. So, you know, I'm going to be more and have try to have control defensively more so than offensively. Give him freedom, free him up offensively where he can use his instincts, his shooting ability. But you got to give me that defensive presence. Keep a guy in front of you. Get a guy off the boards. Go get some rebounds on the defensive end. And the last thing, help your teammates. Because they're helping you, now you got to help them and build that trust factor. Now, again, is that going to happen in the first week? No. But it's going to happen throughout. It's going to be preached and talked about and worked on throughout training camp. And the accountability factor, the only thing I can handle is playing time. And if they don't, they've got to come sit next to me. And is it going to be pretty? No. But yet and still, we've got to make sure guys are held accountable on the defensive end. Because, again, whatever business you're in, Paul, Eric, if you're in 30th, last place, you know, you don't want to be in last place in anything in life. So that's going to be our motivation. That's going to be our mantra throughout the training camp in the first of the year.
Sounds like the old Joe B. Hall motivational tool. Player's butt, my bench,
That's right.
Dwayne, appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping
Thank
by
you,
tonight.
Eric.
And
we'll
look forward to seeing you over the course of the summer.
Okay, buddy. Thank
There's
you.
Dwayne
all right, coach.
Casey, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. Appreciate
you,
his time joining us tonight here on Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. We will take your phone calls at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Matt Devlin, 1 second there. Matt Devlin, I need to talk to Matt Devlin. Don't worry, Matt. I'm not making you jump on the air. Don't worry. I've got something for you just before you go. I'm not making you jump on the air. I know it's late. You got a family. You got to go home. So don't worry about it.
Look at E. Smith bearing gifts.
We'll get you another time, okay? We'll get you another time. But Matt Devlin, I just had a little package to drop off for him.
Nice.
He made a sizable donation to a charity event a couple of weeks ago to the Spina Bifida and Hydrocephalus Association of Ontario. And I just had a little thank you gift for Matt Devlin there. So I had to pass that along. And we will be seeing Matt Devlin in the next couple of days and over the course of the summer as well. So when we come back after the 20 Sports Update, we will take more of your phone calls and be joined by hopefully more members of the Toronto Raptors as well. We still have interviews with Sonny Weems and DeMar DeRozan to get to as well, in addition to your calls on the special two-hour draft night edition of Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
This is Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you here till midnight tonight. The special two-hour edition, draft night special of Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Thanks again to Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, for joining us. Also want to thank Jack Armstrong and James Johnson. And now we do go back to your phone calls. Folks, I appreciate the patience. We've been trying to get on as many calls as we can over the course of the it's already been almost an hour and a half that we've been on the air, but we hopefully have brought you a number of quality guests here, and you continue to enjoy listening to the guests that we've had, and we will play for you at the very least our chat with DeMar DeRozan coming up before midnight as we continue to go to your calls. And right now he's been waiting patiently. I don't even know if he's still in London or not, but Rob, go ahead. You're on Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Hey, guys. I was following along on the live draft, and I hope you get danger pay for all the flack you were getting over the Raptors draft. That was just insane.
Yeah, like we made the selection.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I guess what I wanted to just say was more of a comment than anything else, is that really what we're looking at here is for a little bit of perspective. You have one guy who was slated to go anywhere from 3 to 4 and went 5, and another guy who was supposed to go anywhere from 3 to 5 and went 8, in a draft that was highly touted as one of the crappiest drafts in recent history. And you have everyone talking about like they had just lost the next, you know, Hall of Famer. I mean, these guys are going to be role players. You know, in 5 to 10 years, you're going to be talking about, you know, whether or not they fit a niche, not whether or not they're going to be in Cooperstown. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there and say, guys, you know, relax. None of these guys are going to be perpetual all-stars in all likelihood. This is all just about filling holes in rosters. And, you know, whether or not, I can't even pronounce the dude's name.
Valanciunas.
Thank you for doing that for me. Or Walker or Knight ended up in that fifth slot. In 5 years' time, it was really about what was the best choice right now. I think Colangelo had a big-time set when he made this choice, and I know he's going to get lots of flack, and I feel bad for you guys for taking the brunt of it tonight.
Appreciate the phone call, Rob. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. And Jonesy, to Rob's point, it was open in the sense that there was a lot of discussion about where guys might ultimately land. And as it turns out, Valanciunas is the guy that lands to the Raptors at number 5. So it maybe didn't play out the way that many supposedly thought it would. But at the same time, keep that in mind next year and in future years, I suppose, when everybody's reading the mock drafts and listening to the so-called experts, I suppose, in terms of the way things play out. And maybe a guy that could speak to that better than anybody else is the president and general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Brian Colangelo, joining us here.
Guy who made the pick.
Could not have said it better myself. You always have to look back and say just exactly how did things work out. But, you know, the quick analysis is always a little bit unfair for the young men that are picked. And, you know, the analysis is what it is. We feel very comfortable that we made the best possible pick for this franchise. It's a short-term and long-term decision. Short-term, we get a little more flexibility as we build this roster. Long-term, we're getting the best possible player that fills not only a need, but from a talent perspective,
right.
You know, he was the right guy for us. And we've gotten great feedback from people around the league, a lot of personnel guys, GM types.
We've seen some media feedback, too, Brian, Sports Illustrated, Adrian Wojnarowski, who is, you know, pretty plugged in and well-respected. I guess my question would be, and you talked about it, popular sentiment and the instant gratification. And look, I'm looking at you right here, and I'll tell you, it took a lot of guts to make a pick that is good in the short term and the long term, when you don't know if you're exactly going to be here in the long term. Like, you did sign a deal that's a couple of years, but, you know, you're looking ahead for the good of the franchise rather than the good of maybe Brian Colangelo.
Yeah, I can't worry about that. I worry about making the right decisions for this franchise and the fans that are going to watch us win basketball games over the next few years. We've made a conscious decision to obviously address a glaring need. The five position, fives don't come along that often. Especially long, athletic, talented ones. And you know, here's a young man that has a bright future. That's going to be a bright future in Toronto for Jonas. But you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Right now, it's only conjecture. It's only you know, ratings and grades, and different people will say different things. We do know that the analytics aspect of things, people that pay attention to those metrics, are very excited about this. You know, we think the numbers jump off the page in terms of what his projections are on an NBA level. So, you know, we've got a nice body of work to judge that on as well. You know, there were a couple of unknowns in this draft. Enes Kanter, who went obviously before, and Bismack Biyombo, who we were also considering quite highly.
I thought he might have been your man, but as you and Dwayne both said, you felt Jonas was on the same curve a little bit farther along. Yeah.
My point there, though, was, you know, they played so few minutes at a competitive level, at the level that, say, Jonas has, that, you know, comparing those numbers was really an apples-to-oranges comparison. But when you compare Jonas to some of the other things that we've looked at, by way of example, you know, I don't want to, you know, necessarily kill any one particular player, but, you know, Jonas's numbers against, say, some of the other EuroLeague players, and we're not just looking at current statistics and what the current pool of players is. we look back at some of the other players that have gone through that same kind of system, what their numbers ultimately resulted in terms of NBA performance, and his numbers fare very well. Rebounding, blocking shots, and getting to the free throw line and making free throws is going to be, you know, his three greatest attributes that project out well for him playing the five position in this league.
Speaking with Raptors president and general manager Brian Colangelo. Brian, I'm going to ask almost the identical question I just did to Dwayne Casey 10 minutes ago. You addressed down in your press conference some of the criticism that's already existed, and it's predominantly coming from fans that respectfully may not really know anything about the guy's game. They're automatically just saying, it's a Euro, I don't want another European, I don't want a European big man. What do you say to that, to the folks that say, okay, Radojevic, Arujo, even Bargnani that hasn't lived up to some of the potential? Even,
you're off base right there. You know,
those
to say
my,
that
those
Radojevic and Arujo.
That's where the fan base is.
Let's talk about Bargnani for a second, okay? He's an enigma. There's no doubt about it. He's weak defensively. We've talked about that. He needs to get better at rebounding. We've talked about that. But to put him in the same sentence with those two, you got to be kidding me.
That's
hold on.
I'm telling you that's what the fan base is saying right now based on 3 hours online talking to these folks.
Okay, so no problem. We'll wait and see how it all plays out. But you can't make that judgment based on that. The popular picks would have been maybe a Brandon Knight, maybe a Kemba Walker. That's not the right pick for this franchise right now. They're going to be good pros. There's no doubt about it. And they project out well in our draft pool. Unfortunately, you know, there was another player there, and I think it's fortunate for us that we made the right pick today. But, you know, let's not pass judgment today. You know, people will react. It's happened before. There's been other situations. And I sat in the draft room 1 year in front of 18,000 people in Phoenix, and Dan Majerle was selected, I think, with the 14th pick. Everybody booed. Cotton Fitzsimmons came out and said, you're going to regret the day that you booed Dan Majerle. And you know what? He's one of the most popular players that ever put a Phoenix Suns uniform on because he played hard. He did what he needed to do. He was very, you know, he was great with people. He was great in the community, but he was great on the basketball floor. Wayne Embry told me a story today. Kevin Johnson, another great Phoenix Sun player, but unfortunately, you know, he was drafted by Cleveland, got booed. You know, got booed. How do you boo a guy? He was picked seventh, I think, overall that year. This guy had a Hall of Fame career, you know, 20 and 10 or 20 and 9, whatever it was, almost a double-double. The bottom line is, you know, fans are obviously entitled to react whatever they want, whichever way they want, and we respect that. And obviously, we're here to win basketball games. And no matter, you know, how we get there, we're going to try to get there and make the right decisions. But you can't necessarily be swayed by what the blogging community or the online community, or you cannot do that. You can't let others dictate how the business is run.
Well, the same thing happened in Toronto with Damon Stoudamire.
Right.
I mean, people booed the
selection.
People booed.
They wanted Ed O'Bannon.
And they were chanting for Ed O'Bannon's name.
I would say he had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
And Ed might not have. So I got booed when I picked Sean Marion instead of Corey Maggette. And for a long while there, Sean Marion was the better pick. But, you know, it wasn't a popular pick because he didn't go to Duke. He went to UNLV and nobody knew who he was. So at the same time, look, this is year after year after year. People get booed. People react differently. Sometimes it's the media even making, you know, comments. You know, I can't worry about that. I've got to worry about making the right basketball decisions. We really don't care where they come from. If they fit, you know, we look for talent. We look for character. And we're looking for, you know, the best possible fit for the franchise. And skill level is definitely something that he's not shy on here.
Brian, I want to talk about Dwayne Casey and his timing in all of this. And, you know, again, Eric and I getting emails, tweets, people saying, you know, okay, it's time with Andrea now, make a move. And I think it's actually a good time for him to be introduced and hooking up with Dwayne Casey, because Dwayne was able to do something with a guy like Dirk.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go with those unfair comparisons of Andrea to Dirk, but the timing in his career, and we know timing's a big part of things, the fact that he's getting a guy who knows how to ride that horse, who's done, who's made that, helped make that transformation before, and then with other young guys like DeMar, and, you know, Jonas maybe in a year, or maybe this year if you can work the buyout, you know, properly. This is a good time for you to have hired Dwayne Casey for what's ahead.
Well, listen, you know, we're making a shift, you know, from perhaps a non-defensive culture to a defensive culture, and Andrea's either going to get it or not. I think he's already, you know, talk to Dwayne over the phone. They're going to probably get together here in the next, you know, few weeks, or excuse me, next week if possible. But the bottom line is, I think, you know, you're going to see a different shift in focus on this team. It's not just about Andrea Bargnani. It's not about, you know, the guard penetration that comes from the top. There are things that we're going to address, that Dwayne and his staff will address to improve the defensive performance of this team. The personnel that we have can be adapted and can be, you know, worked with to improve their performance. We're going to go up. The question is, how high from number 30 in the league are we going to go up? How big is that climb going to be? But defense can be coached. Defense is part of is a very important part of the game, but we're not going to lose sight of the fact that you also have to score points to win basketball games. And we've got some good scorers. Obviously, Andrea's in that group, and you know, we're going to see how we can get the most out of him, and that's maximizing his talent. And he clearly understands that there's more that he can deliver on the defensive side of the ball and also in the area or category of rebounding. And that's going to be, again, it's going to be one of the challenges that Dwayne has, and the timing of him coming in at this time with other young developing players, it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we've also got this flexibility to go out and possibly get someone via trade or by free agent signing, it's a good time. It's a nice time to have some flexibility because there's a couple of pieces that we like. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, we're moving along here. So
we only have about 30 seconds left. Did you come close to doing anything else after the 5 pick? I know you'd mentioned the possibility of maybe moving, you know, back a couple of picks depending on what was there. But did you come close to anything else over the course of the night?
You know, again, Jonas was the target. Once we got him and he was on the board at 5, you know, you put away some of those deals. But we do have now some information and some knowledge to base future discussions on with some of the teams that we've been talking about, you know, things tonight. At the same time, we also were looking to maybe acquire a later first-round pick or a second-round pick to address some other things on the roster, or to look or chase certain individual players that we, our scouting team, had an eye on. But at the end of the day, it got to the point where most of the names that we liked were off the board. Nothing came very close. We probably had an opportunity to get a second-round pick at some point, but again, one or two of the names that we were really targeting were off. So, you know, you put one to bed. We got a nice pick this year. We're going to see how we can improve the basketball team. We're going to keep going forward.
Brian, appreciate the time. Thanks for
this. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Brian Colangelo. We're back with more after the break on Hoops.
This is Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you here for about another 20 minutes till midnight. We still want to get, at the very least, the DeMar DeRozan interview on the air for you. We also chatted with Sonny Weems and Solomon Alibi, but if we can't get those interviews on the air for you, they will be available online at fan590.com. And in fact, tomorrow I will be hosting on the Fan 590 in the afternoon slot from 2 till 4. So we might be able to play one or two of those interviews during the afternoon show as well. So if it doesn't get on the air in the next 20 minutes, it's because I'm trying to get you on the air, because we haven't had a chance to take as many phone calls tonight as we had hoped to, because we've been joined by a slew of guests, including President and General Manager Brian Colangelo, who just joined us, also the head coach of the Raptors, Dwayne Casey, and James Johnson of the Toronto Raptors stopped by as well. Right now, though, we go back to your calls. Again, folks, we really appreciate the patience, those of you that have hung on and tried to join the conversation. Right now, it's Tim in Niagara Falls. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, Tim. Annie, actually, we're going to go to Annie in Hamilton now. Annie, go ahead, Annie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the coverage tonight.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say my initial reaction tonight, I was really surprised. I really hadn't heard Jonas's name bandied around much, but it sunk in a bit. I had a chance to listen to Brian and Casey talk, and by the way, I think Casey's going to be a great addition to the team as coach. Starting to have a much better feeling about this pick. As Casey said, it's really a choice for the future of the Raps, and I think, you know, we fans have to keep that in mind, that, you know, they're bigger picture things going on behind the scenes we don't always have access to, and I think that's really important for the Raptors. We want to see a good future for the club, so I'm going to have to try to trust these guys that they know what they're doing.
Thanks for the call, Annie, and it's true. I mean, it's not the popular pick. I mean, people will lean toward a guy that they've seen on TV, watched every Saturday in an NCAA, you know, big-time conference. I mean, that's natural, but, you know, I really think you got to give it a shot, give it a chance to play itself out. You know, Valanciunas is a guy nobody thought he'd be there. I mean, when you think about it, most of the mocks had him gone in the top, you know, 3-4 picks. He was a windfall for Toronto, and that's something, Eric, you and I talked about as well. What do you do when a guy falls into your lap, a guy that you didn't expect to be there, is all of a sudden there? Do you take him? And, look, I was pretty sure that the pick was going to be Bismack Biyombo, even though Brandon Knight was there. I still thought it was going to be Biyombo. Now, what they've done is gone ahead and gotten a guy who is a little bit ahead of him in terms of his development. So, look, I'm okay with it. I know a lot of people, you know, are not, you know, thrilled about it and don't think it's a popular pick. But, look, nobody's played a game yet. Let's see how it plays out. Let's give it, you know, 3, 4, 5 years and see what happens down the road. And like I said, we looked him right in the eye here and said, that's a gutsy pick by Brian Colangelo. And he did what was right. He felt what was right for the team and not go into survival mode for himself because he's got a new deal and he's got a limited time, maybe, in his eyes, to turn this thing around.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll go back to your calls here. Mike in Richmond Hill. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Mike.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for the coverage. We really enjoy it. I have three points, if I can make them, and then I'll hang up and listen. The first point is, if this is sort of, we're debating it here, what are they doing in Cleveland? Canadian, no Canadian, no one who predicted that pick at 4. And so when this happened, I kind of thought we'd go with this. I admire Colangelo. I don't agree with many things he does, but I admire him, contract status and everything else you've touched on today, for onions, for lack of a better word, as you guys said earlier today. Number two, the final thing here, just as an aside, just for discussion because I haven't heard you talk about it, Casey's great pick, in my opinion, though, Frank was the better pick. 7 years head coach in this division, I think, would have been a better way to go. I'll hang up and listen. Hopefully you address this, and thanks again for the coverage.
I appreciate the phone call,
all right, Mike.
To be honest with you, I don't know that they could have gone wrong either way. And Jonesy, talking about Frank versus Casey, both defensive-minded coaches, Frank with a little more experience in terms of his years on the job. And I wonder how much of it, and I know Colangelo addressed this a little bit earlier in the week at the press conference. And by the way, folks, if you're hearing that beep, which I can't imagine you're not, there is a fire alarm going off in the building. We are close enough to the doors, though, that if
but we're actually, not leaving. Yeah, we're on for you, folks. Yeah. We're hanging in.
If there actually is a ball of fire heading our way, we are close enough to the door that we will be able to get out in time. So we stay on the air through a fire alarm for you.
Doing our impersonation of Nero, right?
Yes, exactly.
There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Wait, of Nero.
You know, fiddling while Rome was burning around.
Sorry.
Like, it's burning around us, but we're still here.
I got you. To be honest with you, see, this is just the difference between you and I. I'm going to go off topic here for a second. Part of me, right when you said that, I said Nero, Rome, and then I also thought, hold on, Robert De Niro, and I thought you, knowing that you're not exactly Mr. Pop Culture, were trying to make like a Scarface reference.
No.
To like, you know, behind the ball of flames with the gun and the shooting. I was going to say, Jonesy, that wasn't De Niro, that was Pacino.
No.
But anyways, back to the question at hand,
Hoo-ha.
Lawrence Frank versus Dwayne Casey. I think part of it might be trying to, in a weird way, go for an untapped resource, because even though he's older, 54, even though he's been around the game longer than Frank, even though he does have head coaching experience, because that experience lasted such a short time, just the season and a half, I wonder if that played into the decision in terms of let's go for fresh blood in some senses, as opposed to going with Frank, who has had his time and will get his time again, no doubt, and may very well end up having another great run with another team. But obviously there was something about Dwayne Casey and the type of person he is, the type of coach he is, the championship experience and caliber that he now brings with him from Dallas, and that's what obviously enticed Colangelo and the Raptors.
I like the hire, and you heard him, and we got some tweets from people coming in saying that, you know, here's a guy who sounds like he's about leadership, and he is. And you look at the people he's worked for, and what he's been able to accomplish as a defensive guy. Hey, he's in charge now. It's not like he has to do it as an assistant. He's in charge now. And like I said, I'm more than willing, because I think timing is right more than anything else, I'm more than willing to give Dwayne Casey a shot with a bunch of guys some of which people are ready to get rid of. And you know what? You look at it and you say, well, yeah, maybe it is time for X player to move on. Maybe it is time because it's not going to happen here for X player. All of a sudden, hold on a second. Let's give Dwayne Casey a chance to work with some of these guys and see where it goes from there. So I like it. You heard him here. And, it'll be exciting once the season starts. And even then, it's not going to switch overnight. It's a process. It's going to take some time, and you've got to be patient with that.
Let's go to Ray in Richmond Hill. Go ahead. You're on Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Great show, first of all. Let me say I was very disappointed tonight. And I'm a Lithuanian guy living in Richmond Hill.
Wow.
And you know what? The thing that really bugs me, guys, is the fact that NCAA players are scrutinized. Every little award's picked on, whereas in European League, the competition's not as good. A lot of the numbers are skewed. And I think a lot of times, a lot of these players are really overrated. And you know what? And you guys were talking earlier tonight. You mentioned the fact that Wayne Embry reminds Jonas of Algauskas. Algauskas was an average player, but he's not the type of player that he's going to win you a major championship. He was a serviceable center for many years with Cleveland, but he's not a great player. And the guy I really loved was Kemba Walker, because here's the team of UConn at the beginning of the year was sick to do absolutely nothing. This guy took the team on his back. The guy's got a lot of leadership qualities. He had the rock, in the crucial times of the game in the NCAA tournament. The guy showed a lot of character. He's a natural leader. I think this guy's going to be a hell of a player. And when he was available, I was really disappointed they didn't take him, because as much as I like Jose, I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to lead us anywhere in the future. I still think we need a point guard. I was so disappointed we couldn't get Kemba. That's all I got to say, guys.
Ray, let me ask you a question. Stay there for a second. Sure. I want to ask you as one of the, as a Raptor fan. You still there?
Yeah, sure.
Let me just play devil's advocate with you, because I'm certainly not going to pull a 180 here. I like I liked and still like Kemba Walker's game.
Right.
But I said this leading up to it that I thought Brandon Knight was the guy, and I had questions about Kemba Walker, as many people did, in terms of his size and whether or not he'd be big enough at the next level, and is he a legit true point guard. So let me just play devil's advocate here, see if you can kind of get yourself into this mindset. If the Raptors, let's just hypothetically say, drafted Kemba Walker, you'd be thrilled. But would you not admit that there might be other people out there that would say, hold on a second, we already have Jose Calderon. We already have Jared Bayless. Now we've got Kemba Walker. We don't even know if he's a true one. And if he's not a one, hell, the guy's 5'10", and he's what, going to play the two guard? Yep. So would there not be just as much criticism for that? That's why I think it was, outside of maybe Derek Williams and Kyrie Irving, such a crapshoot as far as what teams ultimately went after. And that's why I don't know that there is such this vast difference versus going for Knight or Walker or Valanciunas or whomever.
Eric, I agree with that, but you look at Chris Paul, he's like, the guy's like 6 feet. But here's the thing, like, the year before, like, he was, he was more of a, of a passer. Like, but this year, because he had hardly any offense, the coach said, okay, you're going to have to lead us, give us the offense. And the thing, just the main thing, we've had such lousy years the last 2 years. And as a fan, after a bad year, you look forward to the draft. You got to have a faith. Like, how do you market this team, to the general public? We want you to buy tickets out. I love Casey. I think that was a fantastic hire. I'm very happy with Casey. But, how do you market this team to the average Raptor fan who's been so depressed the last couple of years? You want some hope. And, you get a Lithuanian guy that's, I'm Lithuanian. All the best. It's fantastic. But the thing is, it's going to take him a year or two. He's got to, build up his body. It's going to be a learning process, 2-3 years. So, what are we waiting for? 2015 now, 2016. It's so, God, I can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be forever. That's the frustrating part.
Well, look, Ray, thanks for the call. Here's the thing. They've gone that route. When Chris Bosh was here, Brian Colangelo turned the team over. He traded a draft pick for a guy he thought could help them right away. He traded for Sean Marion. He went out and got Hedo Turkoglu as a free agent. They went that route. They tried that because they had a guy they felt in Chris Bosh that could help them to, be the foundation for a team they could establish and kind of win now and make a move up the standings. Heck, they were third in the East 1 year. And then when Bosh left this year, it goes south. Now you got to rebuild it properly. I mean, if you want to be upset, 2 years ago when they were 40-42 and Bosch got hurt at the end of the year and missed the last, how many games, six, seven, eight, whatever?
Seven, I believe.
And held a playoff spot from December 15th to April 15th, and the season ended on April 18th. Then you can be upset because that was a team that many felt should have been in the playoffs. But last year was a rebuild, and you got to see that, and you got to be patient with that. And it's the first year of probably, well, what Brian Colangelo hopes with a new two-year contract of three, first of three, that's going to help turn this thing around. It just can't happen right away. You had your chance. You went that route. You traded for guys. You shuffled the deck. Look at all the guys that were in here in those 5 years, from going back to the first year when, you know, Ford, Calderon, all those guys were in. And it just kept moving along, and it didn't get anywhere. So now you build it properly. And I'm sorry, Ray, you got to be patient with that.
Thanks to Ray and everybody else that phoned in and got through on the Hoops tonight. We appreciate all of your phone calls. We apologize for not getting more, but hopefully we jammed your last 2 hours with as much draft coverage and Raptor coverage as we could. Special thanks to Raptors president and general manager Brian Colangelo, head coach Dwayne Casey, forward James Johnson, and Raptors television analyst Jack Armstrong. Also, thanks to the crew back at Raptors Central, Joe Sicilia, I believe Matt Brown there tonight as well, and down here at the ACC doing triple duty, setting up, technical director, producer, you name it, Doug Roxborough, thanks to him, and also David Alter for helping us out throughout the evening in the Raptors media room as well. Thanks to the folks at Real Sports for all of their help throughout the evening as well, as they helped us out giving away a couple of fantastic prize packs as well. And if you didn't win one down here at the ACC via Twitter, enter online, fan590.com, for a chance to win a Raptors tailor-made golf bag and golf package that will be available on fan590.com this weekend. I will tweet about it as well. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. Thanks again to everybody involved in the show, and thanks for listening to the special two-hour draft night edition of Hoops on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.